My little lullies and sexies back to the NEA podcast, which stands for Never Ending Adventure. This is your coolest and sexiest host, DJ Nettie P, and my maybe a little less cool and maybe a little less sexy co-host is over here, little Rusty Bones.
Evil, 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 evil. Hello. Yes, this is Rusty Bones. You know, the Vault of Bones. This is the episode that we're covering today. Season 5, yeah. Episode 12. I am Rusty Bones. As always, Rusty Bones really sounds like one of those like really hip, old, you know, like early morning. What is Zoo? Is it Zoo Radio? You know, where they're just
like,
oh yeah.
101.5, The Beat, yeah. With your co-host, DJ Nettie P and Rusty Bones.
Fun noises and crap. They're like,
yeah. Bing,
bing, bing, bing, bing. You know, anyways, y'all. What's up, Ned? I'm curious. Ned, hey, come here, Ned. How good are you at throwing a tiny bit of fire? Like a scale of 1 to 100. How good are you at quietly throwing a tiny bit of fire at a rope 50 feet away? Go 1 to 100.
42.
42?
42. All
right. Sweet. We got that out of the way. I just had to know. I feel like that's pretty important to this episode. If you don't know,
yes.
The Vault of Bones episode is another dungeon episode. This
time...
Yeah,
we got a dungeon. It's been a while since we've had like a dungeon crawler, you know?
It has been a little while. And this time, we're not dungeoning with our best friend. And we're not fighting with our best friend and doing our own dungeon. Instead, we are dungeoning with our girl. Our best girl. And in the moment. Girl. I mean, we don't know if this is...
girl of the moment.
Girl of the moment. Well, I don't want to say that. That sounds like Flame Princess is like, you know... Salute or something, but
no. It's like, but yeah, Finn's main squeeze or lack thereof, because they obviously can't touch each other, and that kind of leads us to the good opening of the episode where he's hanging out in the treehouse, but they have aluminum foil everywhere, so she's not catching anything on fire.
Which, man.
Like the continuity there as well. Like, now they do some stuff where. I'd say like, oh yeah, her elbows are on the table though. And like, that's why isn't that catching on fire?
Oh yeah, nitpicking.
I'm nitpicking, yeah.
I mean, Finn even has little gloves
little
or whatever.
Oven mitts.
I guess to make her, to make her not feel bad about having to wear tinfoil in his house. I don't know.
Well, you remember the first time they hugged, he had to like do like a whole burrito's worth of tinfoil just to like,
and
it
got real smelly. Got real smelly because of it. That's it. Freaking good episode. I rewatched that episode for this just in preparation. I was like, Flame Princess, been a minute. Tell me about yourself. Let me rewatch all of your episodes so I can remember what your deal is and how your relationship is with Finn. And we'll get into all of that. I mean, will we? Here's the real question, man. Maybe we'll figure it out. Is Flame Princess evil or not in this episode? Maybe this episode of the podcast, we'll figure that out. I mean, the issue is Finn has his own thoughts about that. Flame King has his own thoughts about that. I mean, I started the episode out talking about the evil, you know, the evil chant that Flame King does constantly, like the subliminal messaging that he is trying to get inside his daughter's head to be like you grew up in this evil environment. You're evil. Come on, be evil with me, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because the way he's doing it is coming in through the teapot flame. He's whispering in her ear, and then he like gets embarrassed that he gets caught. And I'm like, dude, well, it's kind of funny. Like, he's this ultimate, crazy, powerful Flame King. And he's like, oh, sorry to like embarrass you in front of your boyfriend. So he's still like kind of a normal dad. Like, he's not just being chaotic evil is like what he could be. He is true. And so you got me going, you, in preparation, you were like, look at kind of the character, what do you call it? Just character traits.
Character alignment of
character alignment. And I thought that actually put me kind of on like where this is my deep thoughts and my theoreticals and all this stuff. But you see Flame King as the lawful evil or and then you see Finn as like the lawful good. Mm-hmm. And then that's where she's kind of caught in between of like, so I've got my theories about Flame Princess in general, but that's kind of like,
they're,
starts off with that's where she is at this point. You know, she...
Yeah, they're both afraid of what she is. I think they both want to know and don't want to know of like, will she be good? Will she be bad? I mean, I know Flame King was afraid that hanging out with someone who is good will change her to be good or whatever. But I, you know, I don't know. I don't think it seems like environment is having a whole lot less to do with it than just how she naturally is. And again, in that first episode, we saw her, she was so innocent to the world. She was figuring things out. She's burning things, not knowing that she's doing harm to them. Cause all she's ever seen is a ton of flames.
She started as the chaotic evil. Like she was evil. She had no control over it. It was under chaos.
I don't know, man.
Or chaotic neutral. I mean,
Maybe she was chaotic neutral.
But she was still doing evil things. She was still like, I want to burn down the Goblin Kingdom. I want to do that. Like, that is what I need to do. Now the Flame King has the lawfulness behind it because that's who he is. And he follows the laws of the Flame Kingdom. And that is to be evil. And then Flame Princess from that first episode starts off. And that's why I said chaotic evil is there's no like laws bounding her to that. But that's just her imminent nature of as soon as she comes out the candle, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I disagree. I mean, I will say she did very like through anger, right? She's very rash and just, she has anger issues. And to some sense,
yeah.
In that first episode that we see her trying to remember what it was called. Was it
Incendium?
Yeah. So,
or Incendium. And then, but that goes into Hot to Touch as
well. Hot to Touch. Yeah. So in that episode, she gets really angry and she turns all of the people who are like whispering. She's like, stop whispering. Turns them all into flame kitties, little flambeau guys. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's hard to hold anything against her in that first two episodes, including, I mean, I feel sorry for the Goblin Kingdom. Don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah. They've been through a lot. I mean, especially the spanking. Gosh, we'll talk about that next episode.
Completely getting destroyed.
Getting burned down. But she's just so innocent, man. She's so innocent to the world. She's figuring things out. I think she's, like I said, she's only been ever around a city of flames. So that feels natural for her to do. I want to like forgive her for her actions there and say that she's not evil. She's just doing what she feels is natural or normal, that like a normal environment for her. She's like, oh, I can take this over. That's fine. Like we'll be fire everywhere. That's just how it is. I don't get hurt by fire. Why would other people get hurt by fire?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, except for objectively speaking, it is evil to burn down a kingdom. Like,
okay,
but then I know it starts getting into like nature versus sentience. Like nature, you know, you see the tiger go and take down the gazelle or whatever, and it's brutal and it's murder, quote unquote, but it's nature. And so there's nothing that is something that is truly neutral. So I still think the Flame Princess, even though she doesn't know, it is her nurturing has brought her where evil is normal. So you still have to call, you know, a square a square. But she
Let me pose you this then. I mean, if she's evil, she could destroy the world. We know that for a fact that she could destroy the world. In Burning Low,
but that's
Princess
the thing.
Bubblegum gets all freaked out that she can burn a hole straight to the center of the earth.
Yeah, but
and she doesn't do it. She chooses not to do that because she's not evil. Mm. Like, she has no mastermind plan to destroy people.
I think that's part of her development, though. At the beginning, it was just like, yes, I am evil's norm. And I'm talking about Hot to Touch when she's burning down the Goblin Kingdom. Finn, in his moment of showing her the first time she's really seen like a sense of affection outside of her father going, I want you to rule the Fire Kingdom one day, that immediately turns her from what I would call that chaotic evil into, I have a choice to be evil or not. I have a choice to burn down this city or not. And Finn gives her that in the first one, and she immediately turns away from that. I'd say so that after that moment, what leads us here is that. And then I guess we just get into it. We're starting out with our deepest thoughts of this episode. Yeah. Is that she's chaotic neutral right now.
I agree. Yes, that is exactly absolutely. What I was going to say. Chaotic neutral.
Because
I don't think she's evil.
And I think a lot of that, obviously you see the two forces, the lawful good and the lawful evil, trying to convince her one way or the other. And at that point, she's just like, I have to figure that out on my own. I cannot. And you see it maybe later on, that Finn's kind of manipulative in this episode. He's not really letting her figure it out. He's like, this is what my vision of you is. Mm-hmm. I want you to be my girlfriend. I want you to be good. I want you to be a dungeon crawler with me. I want you to do things my way. And she's just like, actually, I couldn't say no to my dad, but I can't say no to you. You know, I don't mm-hmm. know if I want to be lawfully good like you. I got to figure that out. And that's part of like all of our like life's journey, you know?
We have to be given that decision. I think that Finn yeah. is like, in the sense that he's trying to change her, I think he's scared that their relationship isn't natural. If she's mm-hmm. evil and he's good, then they're not meant to be, because she's the daughter of this evil king and he's the hero of this kingdom. And that just can't work, right? And so he kind of chooses, like, he doesn't want to address it. He doesn't want to address whether she's good or not. Like when they are at the beginning of the episode and she's like, or like, let's go dungeoning, you know, get your mind yeah. off it. Like, don't worry about it. Let's go dungeoning. And she's like, oh, well, that showed me that I'm good. And he's like, no. It's just, you know, like, it's just like something you do. Forget about it. You know? I think that's really interesting, but it's not Finn's job to control her. And eventually he does let her in this episode roam free and dungeon how she wants to, and they need to figure out a compromise of how you can, if they're going to be dungeoning a lot, I don't know why they're going to be in dungeons constantly, except for the fact that dungeons seem to be freaking everywhere.
But, yeah, in this enough world. To where I love, and we'll go through the kind of newfound FP powers we have in this episode, but we do see that she's got heat sense, and she's just like out there. Finn usually just kicks over rocks and branches. But she's like, heat sense, boom, that tree's not wood. That's a dungeon. So they're everywhere, yeah. apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. If I don't want to live in a world where you could just like trip over a dungeon as you're taking a walk outside, but that sounds terrifying to me. But yeah. it did, as we were watching this episode, thinking about fire, thinking about how dangerous fire can be, and yet how incredible and essential to life it is. We, funny enough, started thinking about Avatar The Last Airbender, and I don't want to go down too deep of a tangent here because you haven't seen it, and it's something that I think would be awesome to talk about one day.
That is definitely easily the best teed up show that we would do next, probably. Dude,
I think so. But so Aang, and then there's so much coming out, I mean, soon about all it, but we've stuff, got a yeah. long way to go with Adventure Time. but anyway, so Aang as the Avatar, he has to master all four elements, right? And he's terrified of fire because of how dangerous it is. He's damaged himself. He's almost damaged people that he loves. And it makes him not want to learn it. It makes him not want to accept that side of himself. Like, he is the Avatar. He is naturally the master of those, you know, in past lives, essentially. Like, it's just, this is destiny. This is what's going to happen. You're going to have to master all four of these elements. And he is terrified of fire. But it's so interesting that fire ends up helping him in the end to save the day or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And the reason I bring this up is when I'm thinking about Finn and I'm thinking about Flame Princess, for their relationship to work, like, Finn's going to need to understand that there are, like, fire is not just something to be afraid of. There are benefits to fire. He needs to accept that side of her because she is fire, and he can't yeah. control fire, you know? And so I get it. Look, he's a water elemental, but if he's going to be in a relationship with her, they need to figure out that compromise. And I think that's going to be really hard to do. I even was thinking of this episode from like Flame Princess's perspective of like people trying to change her, or maybe more specifically her trying to change to fit in with Finn, or trying to mm-hmm. change to fit in with her dad. And it reminded me of like my time in college trying to fit in with a group that I didn't naturally fit into. I was trying so hard to get into this, like, I mean, it was called Phi Slam, right? But
yeah.
this like Christian organization. And I found myself freshman year, like, I was acting way more extroverted than I naturally am. I was acting way more spiritual than I probably truly was at the time. And I just wanted nothing more to fit in with these guys. I wanted to be like them. I wanted to, you know, have everybody like me, like everybody liked those guys. And so I spent a lot of time with other people that I didn't necessarily naturally get along with, and doing what those people wanted to do, which wasn't always naturally what I wanted to be doing. And it just left me feeling like an outsider. So I can only imagine that Flame Princess in this, in her relationship with Finn trying to control her, that she's probably feeling a little ostracized by that.
Yeah, no, I feel like, one, that's, at least she kind of is nice enough to go along with it, not for her own benefit. I think she sees that it's really like a sweet thing for her to do, is like, I'm doing this because Finn wants to do it. I'm doing it because it makes him happy. But it gets to a point where Finn shoves it down her throat so much that she has to stand up and just be like, dude, I am not having a good time. Like, she finally does that. So, and he lets her do it, and he at least like learned a little bit of lesson at the end that he, yeah, it gets down to that final moment. He's wrapped in the slime cocoon. She busts in and he was like, I was really scared that you were going to just burn me up. But he didn't. It, now he sees that this whole like destructive method, it's something that's not the way he would have done it, still can be good at the end of the day. It still does not have to be evil. And that's exactly what you're saying, is that he's got to learn that fire is just an element, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to abide by the fire rules of the Fire King, you know, or the Flame King, excuse me.
yeah, totally. Well, I do want to read the definition of chaotic neutral, just to kind of back up what we're saying a little bit. I mean, it's essentially individuals who will follow their own heart. So the ideals of good and evil come second to their own desires. They have more specifically an ideal for their own freedom of choice. And she's just chaotic in the sense that I think we chose chaotic because, I mean, her reactions and also... Yeah. But the nature of fire is a chaotic. It's chaotic in nature, and that's just I don't know.
But no, but I'm glad I had that a similar, you know, copied and pasted Webster or whatever definition. Yeah, yeah. But I was like, that solidified my point, is that she's going, I like destroying things. That's what makes me happy, you know. So kind of at the end of the day, you know, like what if those like skeleton people were, you know, innocent villagers in an underground city, you know? She doesn't really, like, she's like, I had a good time destroying things. I really don't care if it's for ultimate good. I'm not, I don't get my jimmies off on like being being good, you know?
No.
And I don't care if my actions were in at their core evil. Like, I also don't care about, and that's where the chaos is she's just like, I'll do it, makes me feel good for now. I'll hang out with good people. I'll let my dad whisper in my ear, evil, evil, evil. But I'm so totally in the middle, just going about my, like, what I want to do, you know?
So you lost me.
Just couldn't get over getting her jimmies.
Getting her jimmies off. Dude, what?
Finn gets his jimmies off by being a hero and being like, I found the key and I made the skeleton do the splits.
And helping Princess Bubblegum and... Yeah, keeping her hair anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I will say this, though. Dude, she is all about rushing in, like fire everywhere, like destruction, whatever. But that's how Finn used to be. Like when Finn was a little bit younger, a few seasons ago, a couple years ago, if you will, like he was Leroy Jenkins all the time, you know, just rushing in, whatever. He would have loved the way that she just goes, oh, a door, freaking fire lightsaber thing, tear it down.
Yeah, so, well, and that kind of shows the development maybe of Finn being a little bit more like chaotic good. Now he's a little bit more lawful good. Here's the big thing, because again, I'm looking at this episode very much from, she's in this state of her, like her story, her growing up, her becoming her own person. Mm-hmm. She's got Finn on one side, she's got her dad on the other. She's obviously in this neutral state.
Characters just figuring out how she's going to get her jimmies off, you know.
Well, and maybe I don't know enough true neutral or chaotic neutral characters in other shows and books and stuff.
Dude, play D&D more. Come on.
Well, is the neutral state something that inevitably is temporary? Are you neutral until you do enough of one thing or the other on accident to where you have to fall into a good or evil category? Can you truly live out your days in a neutral state? And I don't know if that's a D&D lore thing or if that's a, we got other great characters, I guess, like, I don't know.
That is a really fascinating question. I mean, certainly when you think of like the great characters of media and stuff, you're always thinking of heroes or big villains, right? It's very rare that I'm coming across a specifically neutral character that I'm falling in love with. But I'm sure there's one. I'm just, dang it, man. I should have thought of, maybe I could just Google it.
Yeah. I mean, we can Google other chaotic new. I'm just thinking even across the board, like the true neutral, the lawful neutral, the chaotic neutral. No, like, I guess we think of stories and adventures in with an end game in mind. That there's always a climax, there's always an end game, there's always a resolution. But can a character, like, let's just say Flame Princess just lives out her days with that mindset. Us in our human mentalities, like, we almost can't even grasp that. Like, oh no, like, you have to get to a certain point where you've got to either grasp the concept of evil and be good, or let go of the concept of good and be evil, you know?
A gray Jedi maybe would be a true neutral character if you were...
Yeah, I guess like the father in the Clone Wars, the balance of good and evil, understanding, you know, they have to coexist.
The issue is, I think most of us are probably going to, like in the real world, going to fall more neutral than we are going to be like technical good or evil, right? Like if... Like the vast majority, say the average. If the average is neutral, then most of us are going to be on that curve of neutral. But I do think, like me or you, I would try to make an argument that I'm a good person. But like, what is my net positive that is so much greater than my net negative that I'm giving out to this world? Am I polluting the earth so much that it's canceling out all the good deeds that I do for other people? I don't, you know, I mean, that's silly.
Well, I'm just actually thinking of it in a very, very different view, because I would call us, I mean, most every human out there, somewhere in the lawful good or chaotic, or probably lawful good. Good is good because that is the rules. Good is good. And then and true good would be like, good is good because it benefits everyone around me. And that's the world operates on, you know, kindness and love and everything as at the core. Being neutral, I think, is not just about like, what's your inevitable output. I think it is like not grasping that good or evil is a right direction to go. And they're one and the other is, it's not like 100% 100% the other, that you can be both, which is why I would not say we're neutral. I would say we've got some sort of lawful good in us, and not going, you know, it's definitely okay to steal sometimes, you know, when you're bored, you know, if it benefits you, like, why not? Why not steal? That would be kind of the neutral, you know?
It's fascinating too. I'm kind of clicking through some different images of these character alignments with like famous characters and whatnot. And like one of them I saw was Snape. And I'm just like, man, so does neutral mean you do some good and you do some bad? why is no one like, this one says essence, Lionel Messi. Yeah. Messi is a true neutral. There you go. That makes sense.
I don't make any sense at all. No, but Snape's a good example of that. He has the concepts of like the love and it's good and I love Lily, but like at the end of the day, I don't think he cares if you use the Avada Kedavra spell. I mean, like he does. I don't think he cares. All of it is through the, that's his secret plan, but he's doing the unforgivable curse. And so he's kind of living in that neutral world of like, I don't care. I've got my end goal, which is to ultimately kill Voldemort because he's true evil, and like that's leaning way too one way, but I don't have to be true good to defeat him, you know?
It seems the other characters that I'm seeing that are neutral are kind of like dumb or oblivious in a way sometimes. So like I'm thinking of like Ed, or is it Ed, or is it Eddie? I'm not sure. you know, I like Toast, like whichever one, whatever Ed that is. I don't think he is necessarily good or bad. He's just a character that's kind of like, I love comic books. I'm a kid who's like being a little destructive, but like, I don't know. I don't know, man.
And this is maybe where I was kind of, the more I'm thinking about it too, is like nature in itself can be neutral. It can be, like I said, kind of the lion killing the gazelle. Now that's part of nature. There's no good intentions. There are no bad intentions. That is just like the way the world goes round. Now with a person, like with Flame Princess here, she just is at this point is so, I'm coming to my own. I just need to let the world happen around me. I just need to act on my nature and my gut feeling. And I think that that is where she's at now, but I don't think there is a way that that character in a true character arc can stay in the neutral. If you have sentience, mm-hmm. the more you stay there, like you, unless you are stupid and will never change, but
or just have no desire
to change. Yeah.
Like a character that's just like content with their life and doing what they're doing or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably examples of neutral in that sense, you know, like the monkey from the Thornberries is a neutral character because he's kind of there and hangs out and he loves on Eliza because he is friends with Eliza and that's his desire is to be friends with this person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm making this up.
No. The fun part of this and people that are listening out there too, this is all like really fun up for debate. So I'd love to hear your opinions and thoughts on if we're right with, I would be really surprised if we're not right with Flame Princess, but with Finn, with other characters as well. It's really cool for us to sit there and probably what we will do on our Never Ending Adventure Beyond podcast, maybe do a season five, like character ranking chart kind of thing.
I like that. Or some sort of an alignment chart with other characters. Well, here's the thing. If you don't agree with us, I'm going to get a little aggressive right now. Do the splits.
Do the splits.
That's all I got to say. Do the splits. Thou milk-livered maggot pies, do the splits. Come at me in the comments. No, don't. Please don't.
Let's pause there because I really don't want to graze over my lovely of the episode.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Which is the skeleton man who does the splits. The first skeleton man that does the first splits. He's just hanging around, man. Like,
yeah, he's like fishing.
Fishing with his arm and he accidentally drops his arm in the water. And then when they come back, he's trying to get his arm out of the water and drops it in there again.
Yeah, he gets out yelled by Finn. I love the respect. It's so funny to me to see certain, like the way that cartoons or anime like handle fight scenes or whatever. They're just like, oh, the skeleton is evil, according to Finn. But then has the respect to go, oh yeah, I'll wait. Like, what's up? Yeah. You know, like let's figure this out. Let's talk first, and then we'll fight. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want. He knows if he's gonna get wrecked, that he's just like, here's the map. Like, I don't really want to die today.
Well, it's just
die a second death or whatever.
I'm thinking like Dragon Ball Z. They just sit there and let them yell for like three episodes in a row. Like, oh yeah, you can power up. That's cool. Like, I respect the fact that I want to take you on at your best. Or like at One Piece, there's all these massive fights and it seems like every character watches like one fight at a time. They're like all staring at, oh, okay, it's Whitebeard taking on, you know, someone from the world government. Like everybody needs to like zone in and look at that. And then we'll all have reactions. Okay, now it's your turn to fight. Now it's your turn to fight. It's so stupid, but I also love it. But no, I think that's a great lovely dude. I really do think he's up there.
Yeah, he's
up there. One of the best characters in this episode, for sure. Now,
was that not your matching lovely, or did you have a different
one? No.
Is it?
My lovely is Flame Princess.
Okay.
And it's because of all the cool new powers. I love the cool new powers. You got Heat Sense, which you mentioned earlier, being able to sense out when something is off. Oh, there's a dungeon over here, and I figured it out with my Heat Sense ability, which looked awesome, too. The way she did it was really rad. Just like flame spread out, or like a shot, one line of flame.
Yeah, it was like a
heat pulse of some sort.
Heat pulse,
And then scatter fire, which is how she destroys. Is it the Snapdragon? I believe yes, the Snapdragon, who's telling her to take my place. Which f that. That's terrifying.
That's terrifying.
She burns the shit out of that thing. Which I, my lovely, because of that, I hate take my place. That sucks. The flame that climbs the goose skulls, like she burns all three of their little tongue
she
things.
Screams out, I think she screams out snake fire when that happens.
Snake fire? That's
right. Yeah, so I'm gonna call that snake fire.
And then she uses her arms to slice through enemies. Like she has some sort of like a flame whip almost.
That's what she turns snake fire. I have them all listed here. I was like, okay. I just call them flame whip, snake fire, heat sense, shooting a little piece of fire very, very accurately. The last one I died. Yes. And then the blue flame away. Laser arms too.
I did not appreciate the slice that she does reveal to Goose Skulls doing some sort of a weird Dex Act thing.
Some sort of, they got the goo between their two mouths and they're flicking it like a guitar string.
Yeah, yeah, it's not good. That's real not good. I don't like that part. But the rest of it is great, you know?
Yeah, well, and it leads up the Flame Princess destroying the entire, like, vault room. Leads to, I think, what's the tops of the episode for me, which is the giant chainsaw slime skeleton monster, where he just has a bunch of chainsaws just, like, strapped to his body.
Strapped to his body.
I think that is just, like, an amazing thing to be like.
Why did that happen? How did that happen?
They all had like butcher's knives or like kitchen knives all kind of strapped to them. And I've got a fun, theoretically speaking, kind of about maybe this dungeon and dungeons in general. I want to get your thoughts on Chainsaw Man at all.
Chainsaw Man. Oh, dude. I think Flame Princess handled that beautifully. I love that she. I mean, Finn is scared for his life, right? He's wrapped up in goo, can't do anything. And she is full speed, screaming her head off, I'm going to freaking kill you, like, let my boyfriend go. And then at the very end, stops and yells at him, do the splits, you know? And then that's where she says, thou milk-livered maggot pie. Like, Garrett, I'm sure Finn was crapping himself, thinking he was going to die. And then she ends up wields the sword, the demon blood sword to cut him free at the very end. And I thought that was kind of a fun, like, I'm going to use your evil sword that you as a hero have for some reason.
Well, she got to have fun. She got to destroy things. And so it's kind of like respecting Finn, being like, look, the way that you would beat this ultimate bad guy in the dungeon would be wield the demon blood sword and make him do the splits, you know? But I think it's fun. I think I will say that you kept mentioning the milk-livered maggot pie. I think we missed the best line of the show, which was cram it to the butternuts.
Cram it to the butternuts.
I think it's when, either when they can't open the chest for the second time or when they when he thinks that she burned a key or something. He's like, cram it to the butternuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, for what it's worth, as we're crawling through this dungeon, he was being boring. I will say, he was being mighty lame about how he was dungeoning. He's taking his time. He's sneaking around. He's got a key. Okay, we got to go back to the very beginning of this dungeon and try and figure out where this key goes. And, you don't burn. I mean, think of, like, you're playing Skyrim, right? Which is funny enough, like, you don't really play Skyrim. That's such an old game now. But I reference it because this dungeon just looks like one of those old Skyrim dungeons.
Yeah, just a classic.
Where, like, there's just a ton of skeletons like in the walls for some reason, like laying about. But he's like, I got to get a torch because they're cool for dungeons. I take my time, use the fire, make sure I can see everything. And then there's skeletons everywhere. And he's like, don't burn it because we need to get whatever, like it might have some like a valuable key or some information on it that we need to read or some sort of loot that we don't want to burn up. And he's really taking his time going through this dungeon. And the more I was thinking of that, and clearly she's not having fun, but I was like, why? Why is Finn doing this? Why is Finn taking so much time to go through this dungeon? And I think it's answered in how terrified he is when Flame Princess is going wild. When she is using her like rage flames to just burn down that room, and then you have giant cement things falling and whatnot. Like, Finn is, I mean, he's human, right? Like, he's scared for his own safety to a much greater degree than she is, because she's as fire, probably has a lot more constitution or ability to just like, a boulder's going to fly on me. I'll just scatter my flames and then come back together or something, right? So there's a lot more care that has to go into his own body. And also, like, in that room, right? So you have the flaming boulders falling from the ceiling, and then you have fire everywhere, which fire obviously not good for humans, and then the Legion of Goose Skulls, which end up trapping Finn, but she's able to just burn through them. Like, she doesn't care. It doesn't matter to her. She has all these abilities. Finn doesn't have any of these abilities. And you think back to his past experiences in dungeons, which probably, again, a reason why he's taking his time, because in the first time we see him go through a dungeon, which is the episode Dungeon, season one, episode 18, I believe. He goes head first. It's him trying to prove to Jake that he can dungeon better than Jake or something like that, right? And he ends up getting beat up and just destroyed. And that's like the worst we've seen him this entire show. And he ends up being
the bucket
knight. Healed by that weird, creepy angel thing, right? That ends up putting him in a soup or something. But he seriously is like really beat up. Go back and watch that episode if you haven't seen Dungeon in a minute. And it's really rough. Finn does not have a good time getting through this dungeon on his own. And then you have Dad's Dungeon. What was it? Season 3, episode 25, where he's emotionally going through a journey because his dad's putting him down every corner they go through or whatever, every time they get one of those holograms. But again, he nearly dies in this dungeon and he ends up getting free and Jake saves him. But he had given up. Like, dungeons in his history are tough to get through. Even though he does have an amazing, the ending to Dad's Dungeon, where he takes the sword, stabs that monster in the epic, eye.
Yeah, the crystal eye monster.
One of the coolest moments of the show.
Yeah.
One of the coolest moments of the show. But I just thought that was so interesting. I'm like, he has had to learn that, oh, I am human. I am only so strong. I could literally die by a giant boulder falling on top of me. I got to take my time. I got to get a torch. I need to sneak through this thing. I need to kill things where I can. And just like not rush in anymore, especially because Jake's not here. And so Jake's not going to save me. So I feel like that's got to be why he's taking his time, why he's being so lame about this dungeon. But
that's obviously the reason of how he dungeons, but also like with Flame Princess around, he could be like, why would I need to find a key if she can like cut the top off this, even the chest, even for the loot, she can just cut the top right off. Now, and I think it's now he does it as a therapeutic like thing. Like he knows that if he goes to a dungeon with Jake, that Jake's going to have a lot more solutions to problems. And that if he, and so doing it really one alone, without Flame Princess, without Jake, he's going to do these like really lame, super quiet, super strategic because he's like, well, I'm doing it on my own for my therapeutic purposes. Which is why he doesn't matter, like doesn't mind going back and forth and back and forth. There is no end goal. It is the journey that he's about is dungeoning. But you know, not fair to, I had maybe some thoughts about like, you know, making, you want your wife or your girlfriend or your fiance to like what you like, but sometimes they just don't and you can't force it. But that's not like, let's say that's a lesson per se, but
I agree.
And then you can't get upset when, you know, Finn gets really upset when she's like, I'm bored. And he's like, well, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, man, like, this is your thing. Like, this is obviously you too. Like, it's not Jake's thing either if you go off and do it on your own.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, you know, I was thinking of compromising with relationships, like when you compromise, when you don't, like just because they don't like dungeoning together doesn't mean that their relationship's not going to work. I mean, right, that's exactly. Silly, right? When, how often are they going to be in a dungeon? But, you know, I think, I don't know, man, you can't change the other person. But at the same time, like I'm thinking of like me and Allie and I'm like, what's something that we do so incredibly differently and how do we compromise about that? One thing that came up was like vacations. The way that we vacation is super different. But again, like, is that going to ruin a relationship? No, because we find compromises. And also it's just a vacation. How often are you on a vacation? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah, it's just. Like oh, she,
I was just going to go deeper into that real fast. Yeah. So like when I'm going on vacation, man, like I'm on island time immediately. Like as soon as we book the flight and I'm like, really, as soon as I get through TSA, because that can be stressful, a little anxiety there. But as soon as I'm through TSA, island time, no plans. I'm going with the flow. You know, we got to eat food eventually. That's fine. We'll figure that out. We're going somewhere. It's going to be a blast. Usually a beach, right? What do? You go to the room, you unpack, then you go to the beach and hang out. And like, I am super satisfied with just chilling on a beach like the entire day.
Just doing nothing, yeah.
Yeah. But then like Allie, on the other hand, like she likes a lot more structure and direction with her vacations.
Activity.
She wants the game plan. Yeah. What are we doing? How are we, like, when are we going to do it? How are we going to get there? That sort of a thing. And it's not to like a fault. Necessarily. It's like, I mean, honestly, it's made for some really awesome vacations. I think what we've learned is the compromise is vacation dependent. If we're going to the beach, like we're cruising. Like, we're mm-hmm. on Russell's island time.
Can't make Russell stress about got to be at home at 5 making PB&Js for dinner, you know, whatever.
No, we'll plan it out when we arrive there safely. I just want to get there safely, you know. But then for her, it's like, if we're doing a hiking trip, like, that's a great trip to plan out your day and figure out what you're going to do, because, you know, you don't want to go unprepared mm-hmm. on a big hike. And you also, if you're going to go on a vacation for a hike, you want to get the most epic, the greatest hikes in. Like, you don't want to just like, oh, I don't know, this one's local and it's got some good reviews, let's do it. Like, you want to like know the secret spots and all that, which is what we did when we went to one Colorado, but then really what we did, we went to Arizona and just planned out those hikes. And that was a blast. You know, that made for a great vacation.
I'd say too, the planned vacations, one, they're a little bit better when you're traveling, what I call traveling, new cities. I need seeing specific things.
I agree.
Also, I would say, even with beach type trips, the more people that are involved, the more the first way it's relaxing, but it stresses you out because a lot of other people need a lot more structure. And so if you're just going, I'll come in whenever. Then all of a sudden, if there's 10 other people, they're going to be like, well, are you eating with us? Well, we are going to do this. Yeah. Are you coming? Blah, blah, blah. So it gets complicated. I will say that's a great compromise. And I'm glad that you guys have figured that out. But the Finn compromise here, going back to like...
Yes, thank you. Bring it into Adventure Time.
It's not a reason. I got to bring that back to Adventure Time because it's almost the spot on same thing for them. But this one between Flame Princess and Finn is a little... more into the realm of like your conscience. So she's like, hey, I like destroying things. I'm going to do it. And he's like, wait, what? And she's like, no, but I'll destroy like bad things. I still don't think he really gets that. And I still don't know if he's willing to compromise and let her kind of be like what we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation. Let her be a little chaotic neutral. He's really forcing the be good, be like me, adventure like me, have the same thoughts about evil things as me. And then she's kind of like, but I'm going to do my thing. And then ultimately, he lets her do it on this adventure. Still seems like he's a little like a little nervous at the end of like, I don't know if I would like you destroying things or like that being.
Let's not do dungeon again. What is it that he wants to go do?
That actually gets down to my lesson of this episode. As when you don't know what to do with your lady, just go to a farmer's market.
There it is. Yeah, farmer's market.
I love a good farmer's market. She says, and destroy it. So and like, destroy that's, it. Now, you know, is he going to let her be her best self, the self that she wants to be? So
here's my theoretically speaking for this episode.
Okay, give me the theoretically speaking.
So I'm thinking Jake knows this. Jake is an expert. He is, what is it? JT Dog Zone.
Yeah. Like, he knows a chapter in the book.
He knows to take a girl to the farmer's market, right? Like, that's what he is all about. So you see him in the beginning of this episode, like making tea. Like what a great vibe. But then also like that's tea that he theoretically bought from a farmer's market while he was on a date with Raina Korn. That's my theoretically speaking for this episode. And Jake's always
cooking up something good, something fresh, you know?
Love it. Like, I'm a big tea guy, so I appreciate Jake enjoying some tea. I will say chamomile tea, not my thing, but I dig it, man. I'm all there. I would love to get tea with Jake. Is he the number one character I want to get tea with of all cartoon characters? No, he's not.
No,
he's up there. Uncle Iroh is number one. But regardless, I love that moment. And I love that JT Dogzone knows about the farmer's market.
Your house canon is Finn did not come to this, on his own, you know?
Yeah.
So,
that's so good.
I love it. But that's actually, I think, man, we've might have tapped out this episode. I think we did a really good job digging deep, getting into. I know you definitely love the character, like mapping and everything like that too. And that I think this was a perfect time in season 5 to like go back and be like, okay, where's Finn at now? Where's FP at now? We'll probably do some of this in some moments where Jake kind of ends up in a what do I do moment with Finn or with I don't think he does it with Lady again, but.
Yeah.
Maybe well, when he comes
he's
to
gonna
his
do it with his freaking kids. Maybe Jake's evil.
A little bit, yeah.
but they already grew up. I don't know. Stupid, dumb.
No, we have basically for the rest of the show, his kids keep coming back up, but there is one episode about each kid. Bare minimum.
I know one of them's like a cards episode, which I'm excited for that.
We get a Card Wars episode with one of his, I think that's with, not Jake Jr., Viola, TV? I think.
Oh, Viola?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying a random name. Kim Kilwan, that I know.
There's a big episode with Kim Kilwan. There's
a great name.
And then a lot with TV is like almost kind of like LSP and is like a stay at home kid. And like lives with Lady Rainicorn and like is super geeky and is on the computer all the time. Okay. So there's some funny TV episodes for sure.
That's interesting. I'm very curious where we're going with Flame Princess and Fen. I mean, I know from minor spoilers that they don't work out for some reason or they don't end up getting married, I guess, at the end of the show. But I saw something, it was like a quick clip and I skipped it because I was like, I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah.
And it was saying that like Fen dropped the ball. So I don't know.
Yeah, he does.
What that means.
I didn't pull up, the rest of the episodes, but Fen does something that's, it's kind of just like being an immature teenager. It's manipulative, it's selfish, and she just basically doesn't forgive him at that point.
Okay.
For now. They do a good job too. The FP stays in the show and they continue to kind of go on their dynamic of like, hey, okay, 3 years after that happened, you know, how are we doing? Are we still friends? I still miss you. I still like hanging out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of navigate the waters there, which is really cool.
And then it turns out that Marceline used to date Flame Princess 100 years ago.
I don't think Flame Princess is. I think she is actually Ben's age. Like, I don't think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think she might be like a year younger or two.
Yeah. So at least we don't have to be like everybody that Fen kind of crushes on is hundreds of years older than him.
Yeah. Well, dude, what's your lesson for this episode?
I think my only one was when you don't know what to do with your lady, just go to the farmer's market.
Yeah,
that was my lesson.
That's good.
What's yours?
I don't know why I wrote this, but I'll read what I wrote. I like fire. Fire is cool. Fire is friend.
Is cool.
Fire is friend. That's my lesson. Little pyro going on, but
maybe it's a lesson. You can also, if you ever want anyone to do anything for you, scream at them and make them do the splits.
Make them do the splits. I mean, gosh.
Oh, man.
How many times I gotta use that in my life?
I know, right? I'm gonna go do the splits.
Yep.
And confuse everybody else in the room around me. Well, we got over lovely. Thank you for joining the episode. Russell, do you have any recommendations for me this week?
I do. Man, I'm learning that weddings cost a lot of money. You know, starting to talk about wedding plans and all that. Me and you just talked before this a little bit about it. My recommendation is to have lots of money.
Recommendation is to be rich. That's a great one.
Yeah, be rich.
I'll try that. I never thought about that.
Be born rich, marry rich. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I've never really thought about it that way, but you're right. You know,
it seems like an easy hack. Like, why don't people do that more often? You know, just like choose a rich family when you're like being born.
Oh, man. I've been on a train of TikToks right now about this guy who makes fun of all the like alpha rich guys on TikTok. And he's just like, yeah, that makes sense. He's like, take that $10,000 loan and go buy 10 rental properties. And he's like, I can't buy a house for myself. I'm not going to buy 10. Or he's like, get a $100,000 loan, buy 4 properties with it. And he's like, that's not possible. And so it's just making fun of all these like, these people that have like stupid money hacks and like everybody should be rich. Go buy the car that you can't afford. Yeah. It's like, that makes sense.
The money hack is you pay for whatever their lesson thing is that they're selling. That's how they become.
You listen to their podcast, you buy their products, and then you buy their get rich quick ebook that they wrote with ChatGPT.
Speaking of buying our product, y'all, I want to thank very specifically our Patreon members. They're not buying anything, but they do help support the podcast and they do help us pay for production of this podcast. And we, you know, I mean, we're so appreciative. It's awesome. I love that we get to hang out with them. in the Discord. Like, I feel like I check it like every single day, see what's going on that thing. And then, you know, it's been a blast having people and knowing like who's in it. And a lot of times it's the people that have been writing into the Traveler's Log, which anybody can do at nea.travelerslog@gmail.com. But certainly I feel like there is that next step with those people. And it's been really fun, like getting to know some of them. And also like sharing puppy photos and stuff like that in the Discord, yeah. Which anyone, no matter if you're a $1, $5, or $10 Patreon supporter, you can get into the Discord. But if you're a $5 or $10 supporter, you also get access to the NEA and Beyond podcast, which is our little extra podcast. I think we're 12 episodes in right now. And I think tomorrow or the next day, we may end up recording another one. But
yeah,
man, that's my recommendation, truly, is the Patreon. Just always. That's my forever rec. I think I've
getting rich on Patreon. Well, my recommendation comes a little bit more on theme for this episode, which actually, timing-wise, it worked really great, actually, is that I am going to recommend, I would assume everybody on this podcast has seen it, but Lord of the Rings, man. The original three Lord of the Rings extended editions.
Extended editions, wow.
We just watched them from, what is today? Today is Saturday. I think we started on Thursday night. We did one Thursday, one Friday, and one Saturday. Like, dang. And it was, and they're so, you just forget how good they are when you really watch and enjoy it and don't get bored and be like, ah, I know what's going to happen. The way it's filmed, the story, the meaning behind it, the deeper meanings, like it's just almost flawless across the board.
Wow.
So that kind of came pretty good in terms of a dungeon crawler episode and matching up with my recommendation.
Yeah, that works great. Man, I do love The Lord of the Rings. I'm still forever reading through that first book. I mean, it is hard to get Jackie motivated was to like, do it.
It's fun. This is actually probably one of the first times Jackie's watched it like really, really focused. I think seen them like distracted, half of them here, one half here, knows the story. And we were watching Return of the King last night and she was like, I don't want it to be over. I don't want it to be done. And I was like, we can read the books if you want to. It's just going to take a really long time.
Or you can suffer through The Hobbit. I don't know.
The Hobbit movies are garbage.
That first book is great. My issue is more that I just am not a big reader. But once you get up to Tom Bombadil, in my opinion, and that's like 100 pages in, like you got like 100 pages of like, yikes, this is really slow and really dull. And we're just talking about the environment and talking about, you know, Hobbit.
Yeah, it's like, Hobbits, I think it's like Hobbit people. 45 pages or like of the description of the Shire before they get into any like exposition.
But other than that, it is really great. And even within those first couple of moments, you do get the like Bilbo Baggins like speech saying goodbye at his birthday party and stuff, which that's really fun. And getting to see like the comparison between how the books are in the movies and like what they chose to leave out. Like I loved Tom Bombadil, as y'all know on the podcast. I've talked about that before. I've never seen the extended edition, but I'll have to do that. That sounds fun.
They still don't do Tom Bombadil in the extended version.
That's a bummer.
There's a lot of other scenes that happen that make other characters' actions make more sense from a theatrical perspective.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be like Star Wars when you rewatch A New Hope for the first time in forever and you go, oh, wait a second, all this happened in the first movie? You know, like I forgot that we blew up the Death Star in the very first movie. You know, I forgot that we, you know, like so much happens so quickly. I bet it's going to be the same thing with Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Like the main things I remember.
They're leaving the Shire, they're going to Bree by like the first 20 to 22 minutes of the movie. So
yeah, I would love some more time just hanging out in the Shire and not watching the Hobbit movies. But
well, and it makes now we're getting to Lord of the Rings. Maybe this is a secondary podcast stuff, but it's
no,
it's,
we're not smart enough.
It's
we
important
can't do that.
Because they all have the hope to get back to the Shire and the life they had one day. That's why it's all part of the hope, man. And that's the whole message of the movie. That's why it's my recommendation. I will stop. That's great.
Yeah, y'all, thank you so much for joining us this week. You know, check us out, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Y'all know, we're there. I re-logged into TikTok this week. So hopefully we'll have some more TikTok content starting to come out and stuff. And, you know, a little marketing. We don't do any marketing for this podcast. So if y'all share any of our stuff or bring a friend to the podcast one week or whatever, like, that's how we're marketing. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah. We realized that our Instagram was doing better for when our views went up, because everybody who's following us on Instagram is actually a fan of the show.
Yeah.
And I say the show, our podcast, I mean.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Out on Instagram, sharing to your friends, putting on your stories. That's insanely, insanely helpful. But I don't want to grow up. I don't want to grow up for free marketing either.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Deb? What are you going to, we got to give them something. Are you going to shave your head? What are you going to do if people?
If what?
For everyone that shares. No, if one person shares, what are you going to do?
If one person shares,
I'm going to do the splits. I'm doing the splits. If one person shares,
we'll do the splits.
We'll do the splits.
Well, yeah. And again, that's where you can share. We'll share videos and fun things on the Discord. Those are the people that get to enjoy our antics.
Yeah. Those are the only people that are going to get to see me doing the splits, because I know y'all aren't going to share. Freaking jerks. Just kidding. All right, man. I'm out. I think I'm going to go make a sandwich. Party forever.
Go make sandwiches. Love that you guys. Love that you do, Rethel.